This summer, click into cordless power with Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds looking fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear leaves and debris with the 40-volt leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at the Home Depot and on homedepot.com. How doers get more done.
During the summer when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with friends or alone on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected so you can enjoy all the summertime vibes, whether you're sharing pics from a rooftop, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show episode after episode. So, stay connected to your favorite people and your favorite things with AT&T 5G and home internet. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
The Winning Difference knows that true winning does not have to be dictated by the scoreboard. Winning is engaging kids in character building, building confidence, and creating successful habits using sports. That's our goal. That's what we need to be doing. That's where we're lost.
This is the Reform Sports Project, a podcast about restoring healthy balance and perspective in all areas of sport through education and advocacy.
Hi, this is Nick Bonacor from the Reform Sports Podcast. My guest today is Libby Mascaro, a decorated athlete, soccer coach, and mental health advocate. A standout soccer player when she attended Mount Lebanon High School, she went on to compete at the NCAA Division I level for Penn State University. She is a fierce advocate for mental health awareness and works closely with the Upper St. Clair Wellness Committee, which she co-founded in 2017, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. She was recently awarded Citizen of the Year for her mental health-focused work in the Upper St. Clair community. Libby and I discuss her passion for mental health advocacy, the commodification of young athletes in sports, particularly in youth soccer, and the importance of prioritizing well-being of young athletes as they navigate the complex dynamics of sports and adolescence.
I've been very much looking forward to having this guest on. We connected, through Reform Sports Project, through social media. I kind of became a big fan of hers and the work that she does. And I've gotten to know her a little bit, you know, just through posting and, of course, doing some due diligence, reading about her and such. And she's paving the way for some really special things and a big advocate for youth sports and a coach, former athlete and mom and all these great things. Coach Libby Mascaro. Coach, thanks so much for hopping on.
Hey, Nick. First, thank you so much for having me. It's a super big honor and I'm super grateful. So thank you so much for taking the time.
Oh my God, no worries. Thank you. And you have you're a decorated athlete, you're a coach, club coach, you're a mental health advocate. I mean, can you give me your backstory? Like, who the hell is Libby Mascaro?
okay, well, that's a loaded question, but I would say, first of all, I'm a super huge fan of yours. Like you said, we connected on social media a couple years ago. I noticed a post of yours and it just kind of resonated and clicked with me. And you're a huge inspiration for me and how I lead my teams, our team. And so I just wanted to point that out and thank you for the insanely awesome work you're doing. And you're talking about stuff that needs to be talked about and a lot of people aren't. So thank you for that. So I am, yes, born first and foremost, a mom. I have two daughters who, one's a sophomore in high school, one's a freshman. Both play high-level soccer, club soccer for the club that I also coach for here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It's called Beeling Soccer Club. We play in the Girls Academy League. But I, most importantly, my role is a mom. But yes, of course, like I said, I'm a coach. And I got into coaching many years ago. Actually, I was in high school and I did a volunteer coach for our local travel team. And fast forward, when my kids were old enough to kick a ball around, I started coaching them and then just kind of have continued in this coaching role. I've coached the high school level, but most recently with club soccer here in Pittsburgh. But you talked about my work with mental health advocacy and awareness. Unfortunately, 10 years ago, my mother, who suffered pretty much most of her life, but certainly the last 10 to 15 years of her life were the worst. She had a very serious mental illness. She unfortunately died by suicide on June 1st of 2013. And at that point, myself and my brother kind of catapulted into just throwing ourselves into the droves of how we can help people with mental illnesses and disorders. So fast forward to today, it's actually transformed not only how I help others, but how I coach. Specifically young female athletes, which that is what I coach with two other coaches who are amazing. We have a roster of 16 players that are just wonderful, amazing young female athletes. But there's a certain way, in my opinion, to lead young female athletes.
First of all, I'm sorry, you know, that your mom passed and
that's okay.
And all of that. But I love how you're kind of spearheading, you're kind of using that, your platform as a way. And I guess I want to ask, like, why do you see, because I've read some articles and you were recently awarded, like, you have to give me the exact what it was, but you had a big award, like female person of the year, whatever the heck it was. But like, what about the correlation in youth sports and mental health? Why do you see a correlation there? And why do you think that that platform is a good place to, you know, kind of spearhead your mission?
So the award was given by a local judge who gives away an award every year to the award is called Citizen of the Year. So I was awarded that for a couple of reasons, which I'm insanely humbled. And it's mostly based on sort of the community outreach stuff that I've been doing the last 10 years, mainly with mental health advocacy and awareness. I work with a couple of local organizations here, but then I do a lot of work in our school district specifically for kind of, you know, taking care of our students here. We have 4,000 students in our school district. A few years ago, myself and another amazing human being started something called the Wellness Committee, where we, our mission is to make sure the students in our district are taken care of, both physically, but certainly mentally. So I would have to say having two teenage daughters and then coaching the exact same age of my daughters for the past, I've had this team with a couple other coaches, our team for, I think this is our fifth season together. So I've seen these girls come up from U10 basically to where we are right now at U15. But I also live with two teenage daughters. So the concept of being this coach, but also a female, but also who happens to be a mom, is this dynamic that sometimes is hard because you're seeing every aspect of the game, the coaching, the leadership, the players. I'm seeing it everywhere. I'm seeing the whole circle of where we are with this age group. So my biggest concern is making sure that these players are taken care of as a person, a human being, a young female athlete before anything else. We need to focus on the person, the child, the female, before they are that player coming onto the pitch. It's vital.
So is that a shift? Like, you know, I would assume I have, you know, we just talked about it. I have a few more kids than you, but we got to be somewhere, yes, in the ballpark of around the same, you know, I'm probably a few years older than you maybe, but I don't recall when I was growing up there being any, it was almost like a stigma, like, dude, you don't talk about stuff. Now I'm a guy. Now, yes, maybe that's just a gender stereotype and guys are supposed to, you know, stick their chest out and make pretend everything's okay.
Yes.
And yada, yada, yada. I feel like you have a lot of, you know, high level athletes that are really turning that and kind of that scarlet letter is kind of going by the wayside, which is a blessing. But why in particular, from an overall just youth standpoint, do you feel like there's been such a shift from the time that you and I may have been coming up and now the emphasis on mental health?
I know one thing for sure is leadership. I think the idea of leadership, whether that means a coaching role, a parent role, a director of a club role, I just think that we have gotten to a point where a couple things are leading the way: money, ego, and then this person. This amazing, wonderful, incredibly talented thing in front of you, your player, is being kind of tossed to the side. It's win at all costs. It's transactional versus transformational leadership. We've gotten to a point where we really, when it comes down to it, do we really care about the player, the person? Do we? Yes, we care about the player and the athlete winning for us, scoring goals, making baskets, whatever it is. But how did we get to that point? We have to get back to the point of taking care and loving the person before what they're doing for us on the court, on the pitch.
I've heard it said that almost like, kids are becoming commodities, to a certain
yes.
degree. So I'm listening to you and I'm going, is that kind of it? Like we're almost using, and I say we, I'm saying in general, our generation, like the transformation, like, is it a matter of rather than looking at young people as let's help mold and shape these human beings into becoming the best versions of the self and using sports as a mechanism to do so versus you think it's kind of become, well, I need to use these kids to help elevate my status as a coach or as an adult. Do you think that's kind of
yes.
gotten out of balance?
Yes. And it's not just club soccer. It's not just the realm that I'm in, that I live in every day. It's not just club soccer. It's all sports. It's all youth sports. We have early specialization. We have kids being told that they can't play multiple sports at 10 years old because, you know, their soccer season is a year long and their parents are paying $4,000. It's just, we've gotten to this point where we, and I say we again as a general term, the goal is not the person and the player. The goal is the coach. What the coach can get out of it, what the coach can make, what the coach can do, what the club has done. It's all about what we're doing for that ego. I think it's a huge issue. And there's this quote, and one of my biggest inspirations, besides you and several other people, is the winning difference. So it's a guy that I started following on Twitter. I'm sure you know. You've probably followed him too.
Yeah.
This is an awesome quote, and you just touched on it. The winning difference knows that true winning does not have to be dictated by the scoreboard. Winning is engaging kids in character building, building confidence, and creating successful habits using sports. That's our goal. That's what we need to be doing. That's where we're lost. That is not what we're doing.
So I got to ask you, how do you as a club coach juggle the balance of, and I don't know any fees or what about, but how do you juggle the performance demands of, say, a paying customer, right, a parent versus, I guess being able to navigate what you believe your core values are, your why as to coaching? Do you convey that? Do parents come to your club knowing like, hey, it's more than sports. Libby, Coach Mascaro, like we're doing it for this reason. And how do you convey that and navigate? Because I mean, let's face it, if you're not winning, you might lose all your players and then you have no more kids to coach, right? So there's an element of that. How do you juggle?
So a couple of things. The number one job of a coach, in my opinion, the only thing that you should be focusing on, of course, other things than, skills. The number one job of myself and the other coaches is to build an intentional, established culture. And I will be totally honest. When I first started coaching, I knew nothing about culture. I didn't even know what the word meant. I didn't know anything. I didn't know anybody who talked about culture. I probably, if I look back, I made so many mistakes. The self-reflection from my beginning days of coaching are enormous. And from what I've learned until this point, the number one job is to build that culture. So myself up top, looking down with my other two coaches to our players, right? We're the ones that build this culture. You teach them. Does it happen overnight? No way. It's an arduous process. It takes time. It takes commitment. It takes learning. It takes reading, researching, meeting people, Nick, like yourself, right? Have I learned this? Am I doing stuff that I've learned from other people? Of course. I have so many people, John Gordon, Kate Lavelle, Lance Loya, Brett Ledbetter, yourself, Greg Burge. I mean, greatest coaches of all time, Nick Saban, Pat Summitt, Anson Durance, right? All of them have created this idea that I lead by. So I give them full credit. However, it has taken me a lot of time to get where we are today. The biggest thing also is teaching your players, your team, how to be good teammates. Mm. The expert on that is a guy, in my opinion, named Lance Loya. He's local. He's out of Dubois, Pennsylvania. He's insane. He wrote a book called The We Gear. The concept is how your success as a player is determined directly by the success of your teammates, meaning You will not succeed if your teammates do not succeed. You have to teach your players to want their teammates to succeed. You cannot want them to fail. You will not be successful. Is it a concept that we all think, wow, that's a pretty easy concept to understand? But it's not. We have to lead them and teach them. I'd also have to say that it's putting everybody's egos aside. Coaches, players, directors, owners. The other thing is teaching them about servant leadership. Leadership is about serving others, period. And once you kind of develop this established culture, we always have a team meeting before our season starts. We sit down. It's player-led also. Huge thing. Player-led teams win. We sit down. The girls are broken up into small groups. We talk about what our team goals are. We talk about personal goals. We create a team mantra for the entire year, but it's player-led. The groups come back. They present what they decided on, and then the team votes. Do I vote? Do our other coaches vote? No. It's player-led. They come up with the culture, the pillars, what they want, their expectations of each other. And that is what we live, breathe by the entire season.
When we return, Libby and I dive deeper into building a strong team culture and mental health awareness in youth sports. Before we go to break, I wanted to share some exciting news from TeamSnap as they have acquired Mojo, a leading youth sports technology and media platform. In addition to the best-in-class sports management solutions used by 2 million plus daily active users and more than 19,000 sports organizations, Mojo brings an award-winning library of games, drills, and session-by-session support for youth coaches, as well as robust interactive multimedia tools, including live streaming, for families and fans to engage on and off the field. The combination of the two industry-leading consumer tech platforms also creates the most comprehensive suite of B2B tools available for youth sports organizations, including powerful content distribution capabilities to drive adoption of coaching and training programs, registration tools, payment processing, organization management tools, and much more. Head to teamsnap.com/mojo today to learn all about it.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep expert. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in a bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is.
In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the site, you can have Angie tackle your home service projects start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. Renters, you can use Angie too for moving, installations, or cleaning. Angie can even help with extremely specific projects. Just tell them what you need, and Angie will find the right solution for you. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Or download the app today.
Where we left off, Libby and I were about to discuss the importance of culture and accountability in a team's success, and her belief that clubs should provide mental health education for coaches to better support their players' mental well-being.
You mentioned that word culture, but that takes time, right? You believe in it. How often do you as a coach revisit your why? Like, is that something you have to go back to? Because I know even me, if I'm not intentional, I can get lost in results. Like I can get lost in the weeds of things that I know in the long term aren't. You know, you start focusing on short term, right? What's in front of you. So at times I got to revisit, like, hold on, let's keep this perspective. Is that something that you try to practice? And also, do you try to teach, you know, your kids that?
So part of the working hard on it and learning and taking the time is staying committed to it and being consistent to the culture that the girls have established and holding them accountable. And when the question is every single day, I mean, every single training session, every single huddle, right before we say the starting lineup and we're in our huddle hugged up really close. I say to the girls, who are you playing for? They all say each other and then they go off onto the pitch. Mm. It's every single training session we talk about it. It's something that's at the forefront. We spend a lot of time with X's and O's, of course. We have insanely talented coaches on this staff tactically, but I'm sorry, it's a smaller portion, in my opinion, to what really drives our team's success. And I'll tell you, Nick, we have had incredible success. This team that we coach is very successful. We don't have a whole lot of superstars. We have a lot of kids who love each other, who play for each other. That's why we win. Are they talented skills-wise? Of course they are. They're incredibly talented, hardworking, but they love each other. They would run through a brick wall for each other when they are on that field.
So these girls know each other really well, right? You're building that culture where they love each other. They're building that relationship. I know that as a teammate, you hold each other accountable, but you also are reluctant at times to, you know, perhaps convey to a coach if something's going on with your teammate, right? Kids keep each other's secrets at times. You kind of build that bond. How do you, as someone who has experience with mental health, mental illness, how do you handle if you see something? Because a lot of parents out there, listen, I have teenage kids, and sometimes you see something, it's just a teenage kid being a teenage kid. But when do you know that, hey, I maybe need to pay attention to this? And like, I guess, how do you handle that? Because I feel like it's something that all of us parents need education on. And some have no experience, some have none, and some are in the weeds confused.
Well, that's a really good question. And I think sometimes coaches, leaders, directors, owners, they're not experts on mental illness and disorders and necessarily advocacy and awareness. But we're in this leadership role, so we're kind of expected to be educated in that. And I think we're trying our best. And I think every coach has, you know, their way of dealing with it. But for me, it's mostly making sure that our players are confident and we have open relationships with each other, meaning the communication. They're not afraid to come to me, to our other two coaches. We have this very, very strong bond, and the relationship that we have with each other and that they have with each other, they're confident enough to have those tough conversations or even come to us and say, hey, this is what's going on. I need help. So I also think that clubs, maybe in every sport, youth sport, there should be maybe some sort of education that happens. You know, we get CPR certified. We get AED certified. Why are we not having some sort of, you know, course, like kind of like safe sport where you go in, you have to take something and get a certification.
Sure.
You know, a coaching course. We have to do certain things to be a coach in order to coach at certain levels, right? So this mental health part of sports is so enormous. I think it would be wonderful if we had coaches being, you know, responsible for taking some sort of, you know, baseline course for mental health. Just so you know the signs and the symptoms and the questions to ask or how you can help them. And certainly since COVID, you know, we're dealing with, unfortunately, a very large and serious epidemic with mental health crisis. We are in a mental health crisis for our young kids. We are. The data shows it. The research shows it. So I think maybe one of those things that we can do going forward is educate our leaders maybe a little bit more on mental health.
So do you feel like it's a conversation that parents should be having? Because you struggle in a game, right? My kids wrestle. Someone, you know, has a bad match. One of their teammates has a bad, and then they get pissed, right? Kids are kids. They get upset, right? There's a difference between disappointed in your results and maybe something else going on. Is it as simple as just, hey, check on your teammate? Is there any type of like things that you could put in your kid's head, or me as a parent can pay attention to some red flags? I know you mentioned confidence, but is it like, is it just the obvious things like staying in the room, not talking? But then you do research sometimes and it's like, you know, sometimes a 16-year-old will just shut down, you know? So how do you know? Is it probing questions? Is it just keeping the dialogue open? Because I struggle with it as a parent of, you know, three teenagers right now at times.
Yeah, and living with two teenage girls, it's like a mystery. It's like, I saw something on Twitter. It was funny. It was a meme. It said something like, having a teenage kid in your house is like having, you know, like someone that wants nothing to do with you. And you text them, hey, honey, I love you so much. You're the best thing that's ever happened to me. I'm so proud of you. And they reply back, K. It's like, oh, geez. Like they, like literally they said nothing to you back. I think right now, the biggest thing is to, especially when, you know, they lost a match, they lost a game, or maybe we won and they think they didn't play well. You know, it's all over the internet. It's talked about a million times. When they get into the car, and I did not do this in the beginning, I will tell you, this is something I learned. When they get in the car, I always let them speak first. I say nothing about the game. I don't. And I think for me, I'm 46. We grew up different, right? We grew up with a parent, you know, it was like this hardcore, you know, leadership and feedback. And I think sometimes that's okay. But I think that we need to stop talking to our kids when they don't want to talk, number one. So maybe realizing that and just reading the room. But I think the biggest thing is just being just a sounding board. Just be a mom. Just be a dad. They just want you to be with them. They just want you to sit there. They just want you to listen. That's all they want. They don't want to hear anything about how they played, how they didn't play. The other thing that's the worst possible thing they can do that I think is a big sign is if they start comparing themselves to others. Comparison is the thief of joy. And it's the thief of, in my opinion, confidence and true talent or true potential. I think comparison is huge. Or saying things like, you know, I'm not good enough, or, oh my gosh, so-and-so is so much better than me. I think that's a big red flag. But it's tough. It's tough, I'll tell you.
I got to say, it happened not too long ago. My son is a senior in high school who's really even keeled. And he loves competing and all of that. He's a wrestler, but he had a match and he lost in like the last like 7 seconds. And he was so pissed. He just got turned at the wrong, and he just gassed out anyway, but he's so mad. And it was like 5 minutes after the match. And I was going to go down and just, hey man, I'm proud of you. Good try. And I could tell immediately. I think you said read the room, and I could tell. Cause I said, Tyler, and he didn't respond. And that's not normal for him. Mm-hmm. Usually he's like, hey, you know, cause he knows I'm not going to like criticize him or anything. I don't really care. But he was hot. Like what I mean by hot, he was pissed. And I said, Tyler, then I went and put my arm on. He goes, Dad, just leave me alone right now. And I initially wanted to like go, oh, dude, I wanted to like visualize him as like a 7-year-old. I'm like, dude, I'm your dad. But I walked away and I was like, man, he handled that probably 100 times better than I did when I was 16 years old and my dad was annoying me for a second. Like, cause I was like a spoiled brat at times and I'd be like, Dad, leave me the hell alone. Like I was obnoxious at times. I didn't want to hear from anybody, particularly my dad, if I like struck out in a baseball game. But then like I gave him space. I walked away and I'm like, man, I messed up right there. Like I could tell he needed a little bit of time. He was still breathing heavy. And even though my intentions were good, it was like, I think that's such a great point. A little bit of common sense at times. It's like, how would I feel? Do I want to hear from anybody really? I mean, if my coach says something to me, that's my coach. But it's like, sometimes you need a breather and reading the room, kind of understanding like, hey, let's give it a little bit of time. Even I fall short in that. And I think it's such a great, simple piece of advice is let them come to you. You know, I think that that's a good thing. Like, we don't have to initiate every conversation, particularly, you know, after they have a bad event or something doesn't go their way.
Well, and I think it's teenagers in general. I mean, like we have two daughters. My husband gets so upset and takes it so personally. If my 16-year-old comes down the stairs in the morning, grumpy and doesn't want to talk to anybody, I read the room and I'm like, I'm getting out of the way of her. Oh boy. What do you want for breakfast? Nothing. Okay. Do you need water? No. And then my husband bebops into the kitchen like, hey, everybody, good morning. I mean, he's trying to be positive. He's amazing and very loving and kind. And they look at him like they want to stab him, and he gets very upset. We've had some conversations about how
I can relate to your husband a little bit.
I know. So we've had many conversations about like, honey, just read the room. It's 6:45 in the morning. They probably don't. It's just teenage girls. And he said, oh, but you know, they're so mean to me. I'm like, honey, they're not being mean. It's just teenage girls. Got to get some thick skin, you know? But then I think back, like, was I like that to my mom and my dad? Like, oh gosh, I guess I was. I mean, I don't think that has changed. It's just, I think we're just more aware of how we can be dealing with them in these situations. Just being present, just reading the room, you know, being empathetic. They already have enough pressure on them anyway. If a kid makes a mistake in a game, don't you think they already feel terrible? I mean, they do. They already feel terrible. There's no reason for us to revisit that. The moment has come and gone. There's nothing anybody can do about it. It's over. Why? That's one of the biggest things I don't understand with coaches and with parents. I had a girl this spring miss a PK. She's one of our best PK hitters. I mean, never missed one that we practiced all year. She missed it. Okay. It was in a very important game. She missed the penalty kick. Her body language immediately changed. I've known this kid for years. I know how her head works. She's dedicated. She's loyal. She works hard on and off the field. I mean, best kid you could have on your team in every sense of the word. Great kid, great player, great teammate. She was devastated. She comes off the field, halftime, and just completely falls into my arms. I mean, the kid was sobbing. What am I going to say to her? Nothing I'm going to say to her is going to help, whether it's bad or good. So you just sit there. You let her cry. You let her fall into your arms. You let her sob. Get it out. You know, we made the decision not to start in the second half because we knew she wasn't ready. And you know what happened? There was no reason for anybody to say anything to her other than just, we love you. Her teammates responded like that. We just loved on her. Was she still upset after the day went on? Of course she was. Did it take her a couple days to come around? Yes, but nobody intervened. We just loved on her.
Sometimes it's just that freaking easy. I love that, man. And it's amazing the power of your teammates just, and your coaches just, hey, it's all right. And it kind of makes you realize it's way more about, you know, and as time a lot of oftentimes heals all wounds and you just, yes, you know, have perspective. Coach, obviously, you know, your passion, your enthusiasm, we're very like-minded. I can talk to you all day long, but we don't have all day. Where can people find you? I know if they Google you, there's all different articles and blah, like what, where can they find your content and how can they get in touch with you?
So I would say the most engaged for me with the coaching and the culture and the leading with love stuff is probably on Twitter. So I'm on Twitter. I mean, I'm on Instagram. You know, again, my main role is a mom, but of course the coaching part of it is my second passion and mental health. But I mean, the biggest thing is just, you know, lead with love, whether you're a teacher, you know, a coach, a player, a director, a leader in any sense of the word, in any level of life, organizationally, business-wise, you lead with love. You love your people. They will do anything for you. And guess what? The winning comes. Like, it just comes. You lead with love. You love your people. It trickles down and you win. I promise.
Libby Mascaro, freaking awesome. I love it. Cannot thank you enough for coming on, sharing your perspective. We'll definitely run this back again. I wish you nothing but success. Let's keep in touch. And thanks so much for sharing.
Thank you for having me, Nick. I really appreciate it.
That's Libby Mascaro, a decorated athlete, soccer coach, and mental health advocate.
Thanks for listening to the Reform Sports Podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, we would appreciate it if you took a moment to rate and review our podcast as we work to grow our community of supporters and advocates. For more Reform Sports content, please subscribe to our newsletter and blog at reformsportsproject.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Watch sensational Grand Slam action on Tennis Channel as top stars clash at Roland Garros in Paris. Catch all the excitement.
What a shot! Come on now!
With Tennis Channel's comprehensive coverage as we bring you live matches and nightly encores, plus match previews.
That is awesome!
Don't miss one of the greatest events in all of sports, Roland Garros, the French Open. Daily live coverage on Tennis Channel, now through June 9th.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like...
Whoa.
And...
Hmm.
Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
Are you ready for heart-stopping, toe-tingling, coma-inducing levels of drama and romance?
Okay, great. Well, you can find it all included with Prime Video. Check out Expat, starring Nicole Kidman, The Idea of You, starring Anne Hathaway, and the history-bending romantasy My Lady Jane,
which will leave you speechless forever.
Or till the end of the episode. Find your happy place.
Prime Video.
Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.